And let's talk to First Union organiser Stephen Parry in the Auckland studio on this. Also on the phone we have Consumer New Zealand's Chief Executive Sue Chetwynd. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Maria, Susie.
Sue, can I start with you? The regulator should take a look. Would that be your view?
Oh, absolutely. Look, we have said that we didn't think that the situation was as bad in New Zealand as it is in Australia, but nevertheless, you know, they're not crystal, sort of not pristine here either. And I think that, you know, an inquiry here at this level is a really good outcome. And we've just done a recent survey and, you know, the New Zealand banks have come out very well. The Australian-owned banks, which are the big banks, have come out less well. And amongst the complaints that people have are that they get offered services or products that they haven't asked for and that they don't think suit them. So I think it's a really good idea for the FMA and the Reserve Bank to be having a look at just what they do and, you know, some of the fees and charges and how transparent they are and how they are adhering to their sort of responsible lending obligations.
Okay. Would that be some kind of assurance, essentially, that people could have confidence in the system, or would you think it's more likely there would be more than human error, which is, I guess, what our previous interview was talking about on this?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the banks are, that you know, they're there to make a profit. They're very big businesses. They're aggressive in what they do. And obviously they have a large number of customers. Now, I think New Zealand customers, they probably trust their banks. Whether they like their banks and what the banks are doing is another question. So I think it's really timely that while Australia is in the spotlight, that these banks, which are largely owned by Australians, are looked at and how they operate in New Zealand. And it is a really good opportunity. I mean, banks are never very clear about, you know, their fees and charges. So this is a good opportunity for them to explain them to the regulators.
Stephen, what are you hearing from your members about the sorts of pressure that they're under to make sales or to offer these products to people that they maybe haven't walked in through the doors of the bank asking for?
From a union point of view, we've been raising for several years the issue of sales targets and sales pressure within the bank. I think it's fair to say it's the single biggest complaint that we get from our membership. Simply put, our members don't feel comfortable being incentivised and pressurised to sell products which customers don't necessarily need nor want, and also they themselves deal with the stress of having to meet targets which are in most cases very high.
Incentivised in what way?
Well, the formally speaking, the incentive framework operates for your incentive at the end of the year, your bonus, but the biggest driver of workers' behaviour within the banks is the culture, the sales culture that flows from the target framework. And ultimately, the biggest fear is that if you fail to meet your targets over a certain period of time, there's a very real possibility you'll get managed out of the job.
So if there were to be some sort of inquiry, would you anticipate banks having to change the way they do things as a result?
Well, as it happens, there's already been some change within the banking sector in the last 6 months to a year. As I said before, the union has been raising this issue for a very long time. It's only recently we've started to see some movement around it. The impetus for that movement was a report that was commissioned by the Australian Bankers Association called the Sedgwick Report. Now, that report was commissioned by the Bankers Association in large part to blunt the public calls for a Royal Commission. The report, while it was commissioned by the Bankers Association, was independent, and it came out with a number of recommendations which were quite critical of the way that incentive structures within the banks were run. Those recommendations have, to a degree, been adopted in New Zealand. The union's been pushing quite hard through campaigning, through, you know, media engagement, through collective bargaining, for those recommendations to be formally recognised. So I think it's interesting that what change we have seen in New Zealand has derived from developments in Australia, and certainly from our point of view, it would be a really positive development for the momentum flowing from Australia at the moment to flow through to some real scrutiny of the New Zealand bankers' practices.
So on this then, Sue, what advice would you give to bank consumers? That's probably pretty much everybody.
be watching this inquiry closely. And, you know, I do think it is at the right level. But, you know, certainly our survey, you know, found that customers are getting offers of products, particularly around life insurance and mortgage insurance, and these sort of payment insurance that aren't really necessary.
And, people do have the option to say no to these things. It's not,
they do,
you know, it's not like it's a compulsory thing, is it?
No, absolutely they do. But when they're being offered them and also sort of raises to their credit card limits, you know, why are they being offered them in the first place? Is the bank actually taking their circumstances into account, or is it the fact that, you know, they will make more money from the customer? Mm. And that's, you know, that's our concern. Of course, consumers can say no, but do they have the right information to do that? And why is the bank offering it to them in the first place? So I think the inquiry looks at some of those things, and so that customers can feel sort of comfortable that the things that they are being offered may actually be things that they want.
Yep. Thank you very much for your time. Sue Chapman there from Consumer New Zealand, and we were also speaking to Stephen Parry from First Union.